Buccaneers Total Access with Greg Schiano now continues. Brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed.
And we are back here with head coach Greg Schiano on this Monday night as the Buccaneers get set for the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll talk more about them here in just a little bit. By the way, you can join us on the phones. Here is how you do it tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. You can do so at 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free if you're outside of the immediate area, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll free. You can also tweet in a question if you like or a comment for the coach. Do so at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy there on Twitter. We left off there in the last segment talking about the first half of the game, and the game was 10-7. You mentioned coming out of the locker room that one of the big challenges would be Peyton Manning making adjustments against your defense. They obviously had some success in the third quarter. Again, now with the benefit of going back and analyzing in the tape, why were they able to get a couple of touchdowns there in that third quarter that you had basically slowed them down there in the second quarter, Coach?
Well, the one situation, that it was a short field and we missed on a play or two, and you can't, it's very hard to give that guy a short field and expect anything, but, not a great set of downs. The one, the second touchdown drive is the one that I just didn't think we played very well on, and we didn't coach very well, obviously. It's never just one or the other. And, it was kind of a bang, bang, and then, the pick six, and all of a sudden you look up and it's a three-possession game. So to the credit of our guys, though, they kept their cool, they kept their composure, they kept fighting, got some stops when we needed to, scored a little bit. And like I said earlier, just came up a little bit short. But, if you keep fighting that way, and we didn't play our best football, some of that had to do with the opponent. I'm not one of those guys who sits there and says, oh, we didn't play very well. Hey, the other team has something to say about how well you play. And, that's a good football team. And for whatever reason, whether it's them or ourselves, we didn't make some plays that we needed to make. We probably didn't make some calls we needed to make. And when all that adds up, you come up with a game where, you feel the woulda, coulda, shoulda, but we didn't. They did. And that's why they won.
We were mentioning earlier about Dallas Clark previously being a favorite target of Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. Jacob Tammy is a guy that played with him in Indianapolis, is now with him in Denver. And Tammy was able to have some success yesterday. Is that just kind of the way that it worked out there with that? He ended up with 9 receptions, I think, when the game was all said and done. But what about them being able to have success with the tight end, Coach?
Well, some of it has to do, they had they had Stokely down, and in the previous 2 weeks they had been almost exclusively 3 wide receivers. With Stokely down, they went to more 2 wide receivers, 2 tight ends. So just that, and the fact that it ups your odds that there's 2 tight ends on the field, and he did a good job, he's targeted 13 times. So certainly Peyton, he was a big part of Peyton's plan.
The interception return for a touchdown. We talked to you about it after the game. You were talking about it earlier at your news conference, that when those kind of plays happen, the pick six, as you referred to it, that's a huge play at that point in the game, because not only does it give them the 28-10 lead, but it now changes run game and the dynamic of the offense, right?
Well, there's no doubt. And I think that's the, I guess one of the questions was someone was concerned about Doug's rushing production. Doug had 48 yards at the end of the first half against the 4th-ranked rushing defense in the National Football League. Usually in a tight ball game, that would only be duplicated and maybe a little more, because you're going to run the football. What happened is, as soon as we got down those 3 scores, then it turned into we'd mix a draw in there once in a while, but it was predominantly pass, pass, pass for 18 minutes of the game. So your rushing game kind of basically evaporates.
Vaughn Miller made that play. He made a couple of other plays in the game. Again, in some regards, you just have to tip your hat to him and tip your hat to a player making plays on the other team sometimes, right?
Yes, and then there were some things we self-inflicted that are technical in nature, and I won't go into, but not everything had to happen the way it did, and some things were, predicated by them doing some good things.
Later on, you were able to make some plays, get some pass plays to Vincent Jackson. You were able to also get some pass plays to Mike Williams in the second half of this football game, especially in the fourth quarter. Once Josh Freeman kind of got into that hurry-up mode there in the final 6-7 minutes, you were able to have some success. Again, going back over the tape and the breakdown of it, just give us some thoughts on being able to move the ball and get some points and get some touchdowns and get some field goals there.
Well, we did. We had some success. You have to understand that up 3 scores, Denver changed their defensive structure. You know, they weren't going to do what they did earlier in the game when you're up 3 scores. They played a little closer to the vest. One time they came after us and we hit Doug on that screen. And I think from that point on we saw basic vanilla coverage until we got closer to the end. So it all fit together the way, if you're going to have a comeback, that's the way it usually happens. But, just fell a little short.
There were a couple times where there's a fourth down and you elected to kick the long field goal. Again, I love the insight from you whenever you're willing to share as much as you want to share here. Take us through the decision process there. You're standing there weighing, do we go for it here even if it's fourth and medium? Do we try the long field goal? What's that like to be in that moment there? Because, again, it ended up working out where you got field goal, ball back, and touchdown later on. But that's an interesting dynamic, right, as it's all unfolding.
Well, as a head coach, you just have to look at the situation. We needed a field goal, we needed a touchdown, an extra point, and then we needed a touchdown, a two-point conversion. So it doesn't really matter when you get them, but the sooner you can get them, the better. And, field goals of that length are not gimmies. But, being at the altitude we were and how our kicker was kicking, all those things, I felt good about Connor going out there and doing it. And sure enough, he hit him right down the middle. So that was good. And, again, the players know what we're up against, and they know what we need to do. And you can't. There's no play that scores 18 or 19
sure.
points. And you need to do it one step at a time. And the one thing about our football team is they're able to stay in the moment and do this right now and see how things go. And they're just disappointed. Disappointed that we couldn't get that final stop. And I don't know if we're going to score or not, but give us a shot and see.
Yeah, it was an interesting, again, final 5 minutes or so, because you definitely had chances to perhaps get the ball back that one last time. And we saw what happened in Carolina as a reference point 2 weeks earlier. You kicked the field goal, you got the stop, you got the ball, you got the touchdown and the two to tie the game, exactly the strategy that you were mentioning there. It ended up working out in that instance. You mentioned altitude, and so much was made building up to the game about the altitude. Did you feel like it was much, if any, of a factor at all out there from the players?
I really didn't. And, you'd have to ask them, but I didn't feel it. Other than the air was very dry. I mean, it was, I think humidity was extremely low. But it actually was a beautiful day, mid-60s, no humidity. I think our players probably could have ran forever.
All right, so again, Denver wins the game 31-23. We will take your phone calls now as well at 990-4620 if you are in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, toll-free. 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 for your calls, your comments. And we'll talk a little Philadelphia Eagles before the show is done here on Buccaneers Total Access. We begin with Tommy in New Jersey, who is dialing us up here with the head coach on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
All right. Tough game yesterday, but, like you said, you got a lot of things to look forward to. Denver's a tough team at home. You guys played well the first half. If we could have got a couple more possessions down there, within the red zone again, things could have been different. Penalties were a little hard on you yesterday. But all in all, you guys gave it a good run. You guys are still playing well. And I'm actually going to be coming down Friday. My girl can't make it, but I'm going to hook up my partner, Scott. He's a season ticket holder. He's coming in from Stewart. So we'll be down there for this weekend. So make some noise down there against the Eagles this week and keep the boys up.
That's the plan, Tommy. I'm glad you're coming down, and we'll see if we can't get us a win.
Tommy's kind of like in the leadoff hole the last 2 or 3 weeks.
I love it.
He's like your Jeter there on the show. Muhammad is next in Wesley Chapel here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hello there.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. How are you, Muhammad?
Good, thanks. Hey, Coach, I just want to say I'm a big fan. I've been a Buccaneers fan all my life. Just have a couple of questions. First of all, I want to say, that I'm glad that the Bucs got somebody like you who's you know, one of the main focuses is to change the culture, you know, of the team. And that kind of relates to what I was – I had a couple of questions. That kind of relates to the first question I have. When it comes to the culture, I see that – and I don't know if I'm accurate in my analysis, and I don't know if that's the same thing you see that I see, but it looks like there's still – the guys don't have the self-confidence that they could come out and beat an elite team like the Giants, like Denver. I don't know if they lack the – you know, it's like they're up. They're up in many of the games that they've lost. They've been up a couple of touchdowns. Yes, sir, they were up, you know, during the halftime. But looks like, you know, I mean, it's like reality hits them, and reality is what they perceive, obviously. Like, really, are we really beating, you know, the New York Giants, you know, world champions? Are we beating Denver? And the game just kind of gets out of the way. I don't know if you see that. I don't know if it's a work in progress. I don't know if you talk to them about this or not. So appreciate the comments on that. And also, second question, would you be considering getting a new defensive coordinator? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
First off, Muhammad, I think that our team has full confidence. I don't think there's a guy in that locker room that doesn't fully expect to beat the teams you mentioned, the Giants or the Broncos or anybody that we play. You know, and when you work as hard as our guys do, and you have the talent that's in that locker room, I don't think there's any chance that any one of them doesn't fully expect to win the game. So I think that goes for every coach as well. So I think you're right that the guys, we've worked hard to establish a culture here, and the guys believe. Doesn't mean it's going to happen every time, but I can guarantee you that the belief is there. On the second question, you know, I think Bill Sheridan's doing an excellent job. And I just, you know, from soup to nuts, the way he's coaching our team, our defensive football team, the way he's leading them. So I have the utmost confidence and can't wait to go out and play this week and coach with Bill, because our whole defensive staff is doing a great job, as is our offensive staff. I'm thrilled with the job these guys are doing, and we just got to go out there and get a win this week against Philly.
And one other thing on that point, too, is you've had some injuries, some season-ending injuries on the defensive side of the ball, and you've also got some young guys that you're also utilizing, too. It has been a work in progress as the season is going on, trying to get young guys ready to go, especially in the secondary, too, correct?
Yeah, but every team in the National Football League is a work in progress. I mean, that's the way it goes. You have a 53-man roster, and you got to – guys get hurt, you got to, you know, elevate guys. But the thing that I am happy with is the principles that are being taught here, that the team is understanding the kind of football we want to play, the way we want to play it, the class with which we want to do it. And I think our coaches are conveying that message. And as a head coach, that's what you need. You need guys that believe in the mission and are out there, you know, beating the drum to what we're going to be and how we're going to do it. And I think we got a great group of teachers here, and at the end of the day, that's what coaching is. It's teaching.
One more before the timeout here is Drew in St. Pete on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Coach. What's up, TJ? Hey, I wanted to have a quick comment and then a question. You know, it's great to see the guys playing so hard, and watching that strategy to get back in the game, fall in place, was great. It would have been nice to – his name escapes me – if he didn't jump off sides, to see if we either got the three and out, you know, to go for that last touchdown, but it didn't happen. But we're still fighting. We're in every game, playing hard, and that comes from the top, no doubt. Question is, on the play that Manning was scrambling and dropped the ball to Marino on his back, you pat him on the helmet, said something to him. I think he said something back to you. Can you recall what you said to him and what he said back to you? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for the great job.
Well, thank you. Again, Drew, I think it's fun to compete with a guy like Peyton Manning and a team that competes as hard as the Denver Broncos. John Fox does an excellent job. And, you know, certainly I thought our guys were playing really well defensively, you know, matching. You know, when you play with Peyton Manning, it's like a chess game. He can see every single thing you do. It's like no one I've ever seen. And our guys were doing a great job of concealing what the defense was, and had him a little bit, you know, for a little bit there, had him a little off balance. And when he made that throw, I mean, I thought that was no way. You know, Vontae David is closing on him, and he's about ready to step out of bounds. And there's not a receiver. You know, I'm looking at him, but peripherally I don't see anybody. And he throws the ball. I think it's a throwaway. And then all of a sudden I see, you know, no shot on the ground. I mean, you got to be kidding me. So I don't know what I said. I give due where credit is due, and that was a tremendous play. You know, that's like one of those that it might only gain 2 or 3 yards, but it was one of the most aware football plays. And at the end of the day, I'm a football coach, and when I see something like that, you know, I don't do it much with opponents, but when I see something like that, I give him his due. But I guarantee you, within about 12 seconds, I was back at trying to stop him and interesting chain of events there.
Yeah, and he's a Hall of Famer. And just an aside, they were right in front of me. Lavonte David is closing in on Peyton Manning. I took a step back because Peyton is about to come off the field right to where I am. I had no idea that he's on the ground, but obviously when you watch the replay, Peyton Manning saw him on the ground through Lavonte David. You can talk about lucky throw, whatever, but he clearly sees him on the ground throwing the ball down there. It's just wild how sometimes, because that's a third down play. They're going to have to punt the football if it's incomplete, and it just worked out for them.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call it lucky. I mean, that isn't luck. That's field awareness, and that's being able to – the thing that I would be a little down on is I didn't know you were right there, TJ. You could have screamed, scared, done something to distract him. How about being, you know, positive addition to the squad?
Yeah, it's well, you know, I know my place, though, too, because if I get 15 yards, that's the last time I'm on the sideline, right?
I think that's a great point.
Okay, thank you. We will pause, and we will be back, including talking Philadelphia Eagles with Buccaneers Total Access and head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, we are back here with the head coach as the Buccaneers get ready to play the Philadelphia Eagles. More on that coming up. More of your phone calls here momentarily. Again, 990-4620 if you are in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free wherever you can hear the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Is the toll-free number for you to join us outside of the Tampa Bay area. You can also tweet in a question or comment if you have one, and we'll try to get to a couple of those if we can. Do so at Bucks Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Bucks Sideline Guy, there for a couple of Twitter questions and comments. As we come back in here, the injury to Laquan Lewis occurred at the end of the game yesterday. I know you did not immediately after the game have an update there. Is there anything now about 24 hours later, anything new on that front, or are you still in the evaluation process here with him?
We're waiting to see the results of some things, and probably have a better idea tomorrow.
All right. And again, it only goes back to got to be ready with the next man up, and it was the case there yesterday. I wanted to ask you about Danny Gore, because a couple of fans have been asking about this. He was brought in the last 2 or 3 weeks, saw significant playing time again yesterday. Just say something about the job that he has done, because he just came to the roster here in the last few weeks off of, I believe, Carolina's roster, if I'm not mistaken. But just say something about Danny Gore coming into the secondary, Coach.
Well, Danny's done a nice job. You know, in the short time he's been here, he's grasped things quickly. Ron Cooper has spent a lot of extra time with him to get him ready, and I think, you know, he's been able to jump in there and help out in our pass defense, and, you know, I think he'll continue to do that. I think, you know, more than anything, we have some guys there, and they're all going to pitch in their own way, and at the end of the day, that's what matters. We look up at the scoreboard, and we got to keep points off the board. So these guys are working tremendously hard, and they'll get it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Here is Chris in St. Pete. You are next here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Chris.
Hey, TJ. How's it going? Coach Schiano, it's an honor to talk to you. I just wanted to let you know, you and I are the same age, and as a longtime diehard 36-year Bucs fan, I really appreciate what you're doing and what you're bringing to the table. And I wanted to tell you a couple things that I do like about you that I've seen so far. Are you all still there?
Still here. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry about that. A couple of things that I like about you so far, Coach Schiano. First off, the philosophy, the one-game season, and I called Mike Williams' show with this before, and TJ can attest to that. That is so, so important, not only in football, but in life. I kind of use that in my own life, because if I start thinking about what I did last week or where I screwed up a month ago or what I'm going to do in January or next March, it will screw up that particular day. So I've learned not to do that, not just in football, but in life. You've got to take it one day at a time, or you'll screw up what's in front of you. So I love that philosophy, Coach. That's the first thing I really, really love. I think it's brilliant, and I think it can be used on and off the field. The second thing I really love about you, Coach, like I said, I've been here 36 years watching this team. I've seen every coach come here. What I've noticed about you, you strike me as a guy who is a note-taker and an adapter. And what I mean by that, there are some coaches that have come through here, I'm not going to throw out names, who have decided, this is the way I do things, this is how I'm going to do it, and by darn it, I'm not going to change whether, you know, whether it's we win, lose, or draw, I'm not changing my philosophy. But, Coach, what I want to do is hang up and have you answer. Are you a note taker? And are you also, you know, somebody who just continues to adapt? Because I really appreciate it if that's who you are, Coach. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate your kind words. You know, one of the things, it's so hard in the National Football League. You know, there's so much media coverage, and the media, you know, has a thousand different angles that they want to portray things, which is great. It's great for the game. It gives fans something to do all week long since we only play once a week. But it's not good for the players. And, you know, if you just follow the National Football League, one week they have a team dead for rights, and then the next week they're back in the playoff hunt. And that's what sells airtime. That's what sells internet sites. That's what sells newspapers. But as a football player and a football coach, the only thing you can affect is that one game that week. And that's because you're preparing right now. Our guys just wrapped up the Denver season, and now the coaches are on their breakdowns and are working hard on the Eagles, and our players have done their deal. So we take it literally one game at a time and put everything we got into it. And in our deal here, we try to out-prepare ourselves from the week before. Can we do just a little bit better, a little bit more, to get ourselves better prepared to play the game? You know, one of the things you talk about is being a note taker. You know, I try to write things down because, quite frankly, I forget them if I don't. And, you know, the whole deal there is you don't want to be one of those note takers that's always taking notes and doesn't realize what's going on around them. But I do, when something important happens or something that I want to talk with the staff about or one of the players, I'll write it down. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned was being an adapter. Well, you know, when you're dealing with any business, whether it's football or whatever you do, and human beings are involved, you have to be able to adapt, because when the humans change or when the situations that the humans have in their lives change, well, then the result's going to change unless you can somehow make it fit. And that's really what we have to do. You know, we've had some injuries, some different things that have changed the depth and the people that are doing the jobs out on the field. And we you know, we're a new group, so we've learned about each other as time has gone on. And I think as you do that, as the boss or as the head coach, you need to be the one that kind of steers the ship. And you have a bunch of guys that are doing a lot of the hard work, but from an overhead view, you kind of have to steer the ship and make sure that it's going in the direction that's most feasible. And that's what we try to do here. So I appreciate your great comments, Chris, and we're going to get this thing going in the right direction. We're going to put everything we got into this week and see if we can't be 1-0 at the end of the Eagle season.
I can testify to the radio audience. He even is taking notes when callers are calling to remind you. I'm curious on the note taking. Are you on the fly conversing with the staff, or is that more like, let's say, at halftime, you're going to go over all the notes? But on the fly, will you look at a note that you've taken and go over and say something, or are you necessarily waiting for intermission when you've got a longer amount of time and the game is not in the midst of?
Well, you really don't want to – what I try not to do is interrupt the coordinators within the series, because they have to make calls, and there's a 40-second clock ticking. If I have a suggestion or I don't like something, I'll speak up. But other than that, I wait to in between series. So, like, a series ends and there's a kicking play going on, I may be watching the kicking play, but I'm talking to Sully or I'm talking to Bill on the headset. You know, in between series is the best time to communicate. As a head coach, though, you really have to keep your head on the field. You know, if you don't keep your eyes out there. So every once in a while, I'll run back to the bench and do something. But I try not to do that very much, because it's like clockwork. As soon as you go do that, a foul happens out on the field and they need a decision and the head coach is back on the bench, that doesn't work so well.
Well put on that. All right, Josh is in Riverview. You are next on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Josh.
Hey, how you doing, Greg Shadow?
How are you, Josh?
I'm doing great. Hey, I just want to first tell you that it's exciting, or it's great to finally be watching exciting football again in the Tampa area. I think I speak for all the Bucs fans when I say that. My question is, and this is going back to the Broncos game from yesterday, the Bucs got the ball right before the end of the first half. I know it was deep in our own territory, but we did have three timeouts with a little less than 2 minutes to go. I think we can all agree that it was going to take more than 10 points to beat a Broncos team who's capable of putting up touchdowns left and right. What was your thinking and your decision-making when the Bucs just decided to go into halftime content with a three-point lead? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks.
You got it, Josh. Content's probably not the accurate word. When you're backed up as far as we were, you know, what I was hoping for is we'd get the ball to 20, and then I agree with you. You know, you got three timeouts, and it's a great two-minute drive. And had we been able to pop something there and get it out past the 20, we had plenty of time, and we were going to get rolling. But backed up inside your own 10-yard line, you know, it doesn't take a lot of bad things to happen. And now all of a sudden they're leading 14-10 at halftime, and that's what I wanted to avoid. So it's really risk-reward, you know, and especially with the pass rushers they have. You know, their pass rushers off the edge can cause some havoc. So in that situation, you never know. It's not that way every game. But in that situation on the road, and that is the noisy end zone for whatever reason, that, you know, over there by the horse, that's the noisiest end zone in the building. And we had some info before the game that was the case, and it came to be true.
What did you think? That's first time. Oh, that's the second time that I've – and it's interesting. Every stadium has different things, but the lady riding the horse around throughout the game, it's unique to Denver. I don't think that goes on anywhere else. Did you, give that a second thought? She was on the field pregame riding the horse around. She's on the field in between plays riding the horse around. It's not every day you have a horse running around on the field in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't mind the horse. What I do mind, though, is the horseshoe prints all up and down the field. Field had two high school football games played on it the night before, and certainly the last thing that field needed was a horse running up and down it. So did I say anything? No, that's their home field.
Right.
That's part of the home field advantage, but probably not the best thing for field conditions.
The other thing is, and you know this, you've done this long enough, I've done this long enough too, about the second guessers and whatever. If you throw the ball or do something backed up, and it's a turnover, and it's a touchdown, what's everybody talking about there at the end of the first half?
Take the lead and get in at halftime.
Exactly,
what's he doing?
Right. Yeah. Get in there with a 10-7 lead, and, yeah, that's how it works. A couple of people have questions on Twitter. Let's see. Devin wants to know. He says, Coach, great job with the team, with the Eagles game coming up. Have you ever met or are you interested in meeting John Gruden, who is supposed to be here for the celebration this week? Have you ever crossed paths? I know you've been in college football while he's been in the NFL, but fans are curious about these things. And then, of course, the coach and the former players will be here on the 10th anniversary of the Super Bowl season.
Well, I'm looking forward to meeting John. I know a lot of people that know him. We have common acquaintances. And, I just have nothing but the utmost respect for Coach Gruden. He's done an incredible job wherever he's been and does a great job now on TV. So looking forward to it. And it was great to hear all the guys that are coming back from that Super Bowl team. It's an honor to have them all here.
We should let the audience know, too, Buccaneers Total Access continuing after the coach is done here live on Monday night. Mike Williams will be with us, and Keyshawn Johnson is due to join us in the first half hour of that show. Keyshawn is also going to be live doing the Monday Night Football stuff on ESPN, but we believe he will be with us at some point in the first half hour, if not the first 15 minutes of Total Access coming up, and it'll be something special throughout the week where different members of the Super Bowl team will be coming on the different programs that we have. Back to the phones one more time. Here is Mike in Safety Harbor here on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Coach Schiano. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing just great. Hey, listen, I'm glad we got a coach like you. And as soon as I got to hear your press conference about the trust, believe, and accountability, I'm like, this is really going to be interesting. And lo and behold, I mean, early in the season, it was kind of a little iffy, but then as soon as the weeks kept going on, it got better and better, and I'm just saying that it just This has just been a great team to watch this season. I have not seen this in a long time, probably since like maybe early 2000, I think, when we had the defense. But now that we got the offense rolling and everything, I'm telling you, this is just an unbelievable season. And then in the Denver Bronco game, all of a sudden when you're up 10-7 and you hold Peyton Manning to 7 points in the first half, that's just unbelievable right there. I mean, I was actually surprised myself that we held him to only 7 points in the first half. But then once the third quarter came around, and then we, of course, we got those three and outs, and then we give them short field, they get the touchdowns. And then it's already, we're down by two scores already. And then when we throw the pick and it's returned for a touchdown, I kind of said to myself, this is really going to be tough right here because we're down by three scores now, and I don't know what's going to happen here. Then all of a sudden I'm seeing the build back because once Lavonte David got that interception, and I'm thinking, okay, I think this is our comeback right here. And all of a sudden we're coming right back, and then we get the touchdown to Mike Williams to make it a one-possession game. Then you get the onside kick, and, of course, we don't get it. And then I said,
Mike, we're short on time. We need a question, buddy, if you got one. You're recapping the whole game on us. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Well, what I was going to say is, Chiano, short and simple, you're a great coach this season, man. I'm looking forward to these last four games. Hopefully you can win them out, and good luck this week. Thanks.
Hey, Mike, I appreciate it, man. And I know I love the true fans that remember every single drive and every single play. You know, that's how coaches are. You know, they could sit there 5 years from now and tell you about that third down conversion back in the Denver game, but that's because it's important to us. And you know, we're looking forward to this week. You know, we're not going to wish away time. We have work to do. We have to get better, but Sunday will be here soon enough, and we're going to be prepared.
Thank you for all the phone calls. We'll come back and talk Eagles in just a moment on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And we come back in here on this Monday night as the Bucs get set to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles come in off of a wild game on Sunday night with the Dallas Cowboys, where the Cowboys eventually, after the Eagles led a lot of the second half, Coach, the Cowboys eventually won 38-33. They have made a quarterback change necessitated by Michael Vick suffering from a concussion. Nick Foles, the rookie from Arizona, has come in to quarterback them the last couple of games. Andy Reid, the head coach, announcing earlier on Monday that he will start this game, and they intend to start him the rest of the year. But just scout the Eagles, if you would, here as we get ready for this one on Sunday.
Well, I haven't had a ton of time. You know, we've mostly been putting the Denver game to bed, but I've watched a little bit of the Eagles, and they sure heck of a game last night against the Dallas Cowboys at Dallas, which is never an easy thing. And the young kid, he looks like he's really coming on at quarterback. He looks like he's getting more and more comfortable, you know, behind center. And then with the running back, I think, you know, this guy, he is really, Bryce Brown I'm talking about, he has really been very, very productive. And had not played a lot in college. You know, I actually know him from high school when in recruiting. He was a kid that came out of, I think it was Kansas City or somewhere in that area of the country. And
was originally at Tennessee,
yeah,
and then transferred out of Tennessee
right
now, and now has made his way to the Eagles roster.
Yeah, and, you know, just the last few weeks has been putting up big numbers, so certainly got our hands full there. And then defensively, you know, they're gonna get after the quarterback, and that's something they do, and we have to do a good job of protecting the quarterback and find a way to run the football.
They have made a change at defensive coordinator during the season. Again, you that were early in the week with delving in, but I know you've prepared some. Have they begun to change up some of what they do on defense? Are they running a lot of the same stuff? Because sometimes you would think if there's a change mid-season, you're going to change everything, and you can't really look at the beginning of the year at what they were doing on defense. What are you planning on doing there with that?
Well, Todd Bowles, who is now the coordinator, was on staff, so it's not like I think it's a whole different defense. But there, you know, when a guy's in charge, there's a different guy in charge now. There's subtle things that are different. The things that he believes strongly in, they're going to be the things that are emphasized. So you can see some different things, and you know, that's how some of the decisions we have to make on what we're going to use in the breakdowns and those kind of things.
Going to be quite an atmosphere on Sunday for sure. Home game. And the 10th anniversary of the Super Bowl team. It's going to be exciting to have all of that going on as the Eagles come to town Sunday at 1 o'clock. And we will have more on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano, brought to you by the International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. And the Buccaneers will get set to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. That is Sunday, 1 o'clock. And again, get your tickets for this matchup with the Eagles. Again, playoff implications in the NFC for certain for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this matchup against Andy Reid and his team. And we'll be back next Monday night with another edition of Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Greg Schiano. It's brought to you by International Diamond Center, where you'll find better selection and value guaranteed.